Morning, everyone. Just a little thought that came to me then when we were singing about never losing the wonder of the cross. I think that's an easy thing to happen. If ever the church needs to keep one thing paramount, it's to never lose the wonder of the cross. I sat there thinking, you know, there's so many things that can come in and obscure your vision. Can come in and make a noise, make a distraction. We must never lose the wonder of the cross. I was sat there thinking, actually, if we didn't have the cross, I would have gone through all of this morning and it just would have been worthless. All the words that have been said, all the people that we've prayed for this morning, all the people and family members that don't yet know the Lord Jesus, without that wonderful cross, all things, it just wouldn't be worth it. We have an amazing, amazing truth in the cross. If it doesn't wake us up this morning, I don't know what will. It may be the heat in here, I don't know. I'm sure it's too many roast potatoes and spuds and all the things over there. Precious Lord, I love being in His presence. It refreshes, it reinvigorates. Sometimes it brings you down a peg or two, which is good, isn't it? I think sometimes we can get so carried away with things that it's great the Lord just gently just takes us off a peg or two and brings us down again so our feet are on the ground. That's where He wants us to do His work. I've been thinking the last just couple of weeks about a word, and it's contentment. And it's probably not the best and great time of year to think about contentment, because the other day I got a Christmas present and it was a Galaxy bar that was about a metre and a half long, and it landed there and I was thinking, wow, I'm going to have to hide that from the kids. But I was just, it's probably not the greatest time to talk about contentment, because around Christmas time, to be honest with you, you can get distracted. But underneath the Christmas time, I felt and known just a wonderful contentment in God. It's partly because I've come from a situation in work where there's discontent. And it's very real. We have to be very honest and open. And Brian mentioned about emotions. And there's nothing wrong with sharing emotions. We keep things so tight, don't we? But I've realised that discontentment, which I've had at work, has been totally overshadowed by having a wonderful content in God. He is so sufficient. You will not find contentment in anything in the world. Can I say that? You can put it on record. You will not find anything of contentment in the world. You will find pleasure. You'll find things that will come along and just give you that little lift. The only contentment that you can find is in God Himself. And I've just been thinking about contentment, trying to understand it in a simple mind, but in actual fact, it's that God is so happy with the Son and the Spirit. The Son is so happy with the Father and the Spirit. There's a wonderful unity in the Godhead that then just flows out to me and you, that we can find contentment this morning. Isn't that amazing? God was well pleased. He's satisfied in Himself, in His Son, and in the Spirit. And it's only through that it's filtered out. That's an amazing thing that we this morning sat in this room that used to have a billiard table in, I do believe, a fire in the corner and smoke billowing out. In this place right now, you can find contentment is only in the Lord Jesus. I briefly had a pleasure when I received the Galaxy bar. It was huge. I was thinking, how am I going to consume this? I still have some left. But you would have felt some things in the last week or so where it just would have, oh, that's wonderful. What a gift, you know. It's when I remember getting a shaver from my mum and dad. I realised I was growing up. It's when I got the socks from my uncle and aunt that I got every year. The same pair of socks. They're all surface things. And I don't jest in a way I'm saying, God is amazing. And he wants to take us on. We're on the eve of a new year. And my prayer and my heart is that this year coming up, we will find and we will be content in the Lord Jesus. That's what he wants. Godliness and contentment. It's great gain. If you have your Bibles, just turn with me into Philippians book. A wonderful letter. It's a love letter, a thank you letter. Chapter 4. Let's just start. Let me just read the verses from the beginning. Chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And just to stop there, those two characters there, they were squabbling. Often you'll find, and I've read through different stories in the Bible about contentment, you'll often find that there are contentions that then bring contentment. There were squabbles, they were squabbling in the church. In actual fact, from that, something good came of it. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They're just wonderful verses. And one thing that I find amazing about Paul is, of all the things that happened to him, he was a man that you could say would be a little bit discontented with things. I was thinking about, he got bitten by the snake, didn't he? He had shipwreck. He was in the stocks, he was in prison, house arrest. And I was thinking of a man that actually could just be a little bit like, how do I go on? He was the absolute, complete opposite. Contentment is the inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. I love that. Contentment is the inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. There's nothing that will be placed along your lives that if it's not from God will bring contentment. I know I said that before, but I've been racking my brains and trying to work out a best way to explain it. and here's my little way of trying to explain it, is that when I was younger, it was the night before going to school, and I would get my school uniform and I would place my school uniform on one of the radiators at home. So then when I woke up in the morning and I put those clothes on, I would be so warm, and you get that lovely feeling of being like, oh, that's great, ready to face the day. Contentment is not that. Contentment is that you get those clothes and the heat and warmth of your own body will warm those clothes on you. And it really spoke to me. There is nothing external of contentment that will just heat and keep you content. It's what God has done inside here that brings that wonderful contentment. Does that make sense? It helped me. A little picture, a uniform. But that's how we must see it, because if not, we will grapple, we will try and, I mean, you can go to different bookstalls in your local, your neighbourhood, and there'll be 10 steps to contentment. How to reach the goal of contentment. I looked online and I just, you get discontent by reading the like, content books, if you know what I mean. But the only true and only way is, and when I was singing that thing there about the cross, it's the only place I think that you'll find that contentment is knowing what Jesus has done on the cross. You know that we can distance ourselves from it. We can move ourselves away. We can busy ourselves so much. And just in the week away in North Wales, it was the time when I just felt it was just lovely actually just to go for walks on the beach and just reflect on the year that's gone by. And the only thing I could say and come out with was that the Lord is so sufficient for us. He is all sufficient for us and you and every need. For the person that we prayed for in hospital this morning, He is all sufficient. It's through His sufficiency that we can find contentment in Him. I have a picture to put up. Just wondering, is that okay, Mark, if you can just put a picture up. It's poor quality, it's with my mobile phone. But it was just a little time that I felt like I could just get on my own on the week away. And it's not very clear, excuse me. Can we have the picture after, is that okay? This was just the morning walk. And I really felt that I wanted the Lord just to kind of, in some ways... in some ways for me to find again in a new way just to feel content in what Jesus has done for me. And I went for a little walk and I just was looking out the scene there, and I just felt just a lovely lovely's not a great, it's not spiritual enough, is it? I felt a very deep knowing. I felt a lovely feeling, a knowing that actually this year coming up, we can find a contentment in Jesus again. And if you've never found that contentment, it's here this morning. And as I looked, and could we do the next picture? When I looked out and was going for a walk, I realised that in actual fact, other people have been stepping on this path, on this sand. And if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to this place. Genesis chapter 13. My question for you this morning is, are you happy with your lot? Excuse the pun. Oh, someone got it then. Chapter 13. And this is just the story of Abraham and Lot. And you can remember that they're both the... Their clans were so big that they couldn't dwell together. In actual fact, the herdsmen started to have arguments. A little bit like the arguments back in Philippians. There was an argument between two people in a small church, Paul's first church that he planted. And here too, there were two clans, that Lot and Abraham. There wasn't enough room for them to dwell, basically. And this really spoke to me here. Go down to me, with me, to... verse 10, chapter 13. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And something that really, I think it was one of the guys at Rora last year, New Life, mentioned about the danger of where you pitch your tent. And in actual fact here, he pitched his tent right up to Sodom. And obviously we know what happens after that, but it was, it gave a real picture of beware of where you pitch your tent. That stuck with me. I know we can say it as a church, but individually, beware where you pitch your tent. There was something about the cities that were luring people in particular. And then it goes on and it says, verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. And it was in that verse that on the morning that I went for a walk down to the beach, I just stood there in the place where I was at. Okay, amongst before there was noise before and there's food and there's laughter and but in this little place I stood there and I remember because I'd been reading this, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. And I think the Lord this morning is asking the question of all of us, look from the place where you are now and what do you see? Who do you see? For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree by Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. I was really taken by this. Excuse me. I was really taken by this thing of amongst the noise, amongst the daily things that we have to do, there is a place when we have to stop and look to the Lord in a new way. We sung a chorus earlier on about, and we sung it, we said, I will trust. That's a huge thing to sing, but to actually put it in and apply it in our lives is massive. Because we're quite happy to sing the things, and then the next day we're kind of flustered by what's, oh no. The Lord wants to create something in us through His sufficiency where we are content in Him. Isn't that an amazing thing? One thing that contentment is not, is something that's passive. It's not something that you've just had a huge meal. Sorry to do the food thing again. All the trimmings. You've eaten. You sit down and then usually you fall asleep just before the Queen's speech. It's not that. It's this thing of you're content and then you want to move on in a new direction. This thing, the picture of the sand here, I realise that at one stage you have to stand still and know the Lord, and then after that He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to walk. He wants you to kind of apply that contentment into all that you face. I know that next week when I've got to go back into work in a discontent atmosphere, I have to take a spirit of being content. Godliness and contentment is great gain. You may face the same situations, a family situation, a work environment. It's only Jesus that will actually bring a content to our hearts. I'm convinced by it. Let me go to my notes, so I'll go everywhere. Abraham was happy with his lot when choosing where to live. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. God gives this invitation to all. Proverbs 14:14 says this, that a good man will be satisfied from above. That goes back to the point I was making, that we can only find true contentment in knowing that God is well satisfied with his Son and the Spirit. It all flows from there. John 1 says this, and all of his fullness we have all received, grace for grace. 2 Corinthians says, we are not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. 1 Timothy, now good godliness and contentment is great gain. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. It was read earlier on. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you know, that is such a truth that often I overlook. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If that doesn't in some ways this morning stir this thing in you of feeling content with what you have, then we're missing the point. That is an incredible thing. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, we can get so familiar with scripture and with words. I think sometimes the Lord Jesus puts us in a situation where we then, through the experience of a situation, those words then actually come to light in our hearts. Do you believe that? I honestly do. Because if it's not true, and if that's not the case, then we'll be full of this knowledge, but with no outlet to actually live it. Just thoughts on healing. The more I read in the New Testament, actually, lots of the healing were in the setting of like an evangelistic way. It's that the Lord Jesus healed the unbeliever. I know he touched and believed those that love the Lord, but much of the New Testament I read is that there were many that didn't yet know him. And then from that healing, from that touch, it then went out into a village, into another place. Read it. I might be wrong, but when I read the New Testament, I'm amazed. Actually, it was used as almost like an evangelistic tool. I mean, we read books and we have formulas and methods and all that. Jesus went and walked, and some were healed, and then that spread. That person went and ran off to the village, and then it. Our only contentment is that God is satisfied in himself. God is all sufficient in that he rests fully satisfied in and with himself alone. But he is pleased freely to communicate his fullness to the creature, that's us, so that from God in Christ the saints receive grace for grace. Satisfaction meets sufficiency. Can I just tell you a few words that if you're not content, I love saying this word, but it may mean that you're peevish. Don't throw me out. But I had to look up the opposite to it. I know it's discontent, but there's a great word called peevish. Let me just list some of these words. The opposite to contentment, peevish. Easily irritated by unimportant things. In some ways, we mustn't just laugh over these, because when I read this list, I was thinking, wow, oh Lord. Bro. Great to see you. We mustn't just overlook them. The next one, bad-tempered. Cantankerous. Childish. Churlish. Complaining. Cranky. Critical. Cross. Crotchety. Crusty. Fault-finding. Fractious. Fretful. Grouchy. Grumpy. Huffy. Ill-natured. And mean. Excuse my descriptions there, but it helps me. If anyone, if I leave the list up here... No, I'm just joking. They're all the opposite to actually what we have in Jesus. Will there be a time when I'm crotchety? Yes. I wanted to put up on the slide here, Manchester United 3, Liverpool 0. Just an illustration, but I couldn't find it. There will be things which come in straight away and they'll just hit you, take the carpet from under your feet. But the underlying thing is that what we have in Jesus Christ is amazing contentment. I am well satisfied. I'm full. Paul describes being full. Can I just read you a little story that I read about a pastor in Germany, in Berlin. This is in 1935. His name was Paul Schneider. Has anyone heard of Norman? If you have the time just to read about his life. Amazing. In March 1935, Nazi officials took Pastor Schneider into protective custody. That means arrest. And that's a euphemism for arrest, without any judicial warrant. They held him for a few days because he insisted on reading from the pulpit the scriptures, which was against government's policy. Local Nazi officials summoned Schneider for interrogations 12 times during the winter of 1935 to 1936. He continued to speak his mind and follow the dictates of his conscience. Some of his friends pleaded with him to avoid confrontation with the Nazis. He responded that he did not seek martyrdom, but that he had to follow his Lord. His primary responsibility was to prepare his family for eternal life, not to ensure their material well-being. That really spoke to me. And you can read a lot more about him. Just incredible. He wanted to prepare his own children for eternity and not have these... have them in amidst kind of materialism things and all the things that sometimes can take our vision off the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's something a lot more deeper. Just come with me to my daily reading this morning. My tattered... can I recommend this? It's fantastic. Les's book. I know it's been around for quite a few years now. But let me just read you what I had today in my reading. This is about the two disciples. When the Lord Jesus came on the road with the two disciples, and he explained all scripture to him in Luke chapter 24. Les puts it like this. Luke chapter 24 verse 28. The hearts of the two disciples on the Emmaus road burned in them as Jesus drew near. But not as much as his heart burned. He is filled with desire to take us further. To show us more. To release us from tiredness and burdens. And enlarge our capacity, sorry. I had one the other day. What was it? Tychicus, maybe. Anyway, there was another one. He is not disappointed in you, that it is not the basis on which he appeals to you to go further. It is because He has great plans for you and longs to fulfill them in your life. He indicated. In other words, he touched their hearts and gave them the option. Perhaps he pointed ahead or opened another avenue of scripture in their minds that they had never noticed before. But they declined to respond to his prompting. No doubt they were interested, but not interested enough to pursue the matter with them there and then. The Lord wants to take you further. There are so many things that we can't even guess are just around the corner. If we will only throw off our petty feelings and follow him, there is a great new door opening. Don't hesitate. Go through it with him. Wonderful words. You know, we're on the eve of a new year, and I can't help but feel this thing tugging in my heart that, what is it that you want for this next year? You can answer me out loud. What is it that you want for this next year? Silence.
A galaxy bar.
A galaxy bar. Chance parents to know the Lord. Jesus! He can do it, can't he?
Amen.
He will. Anything else?
Peace in the family.
Sister, the Lord's the one with the peace, isn't he? He can come into that family and let my peace be with you. Anything else this year? To pass. University. You know, the Lord's interested in the very things that we do day to day. Anything else?
John and Tim
to know the Lord. We're in a family here where we shouldn't feel so rigid that we can't say and ask the Lord. Is there anything else?
My family for the Lord.
Kim's family for the Lord. Who's he coming to seek and save? The lost. Passion at Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Huge undertaking. Lord, be there. He's interested in the aftercare, not just the event. I've been thinking about that. All the things that follow the event. Oh, Lord. He's wonderful. Just go with me. Sorry, I've got a few more scriptures. Back into Philippians chapter 4. I'm very intrigued by Paul. The way he was. You know that Philippians, and Philippi in particular, was the only church that supported him with money. I've just been reading around, and it's almost a thank you letter. But Paul wasn't even asking for money. But it's just a wonderful letter. It was his, almost like his baby, I think, because it was his first church plant. And things grew, even amongst the contentions. It's this illustration here. Just excuse me while I find it. Chapter 4. Sorry, end of chapter 3. Stay with me. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know that there are verses that we're very familiar with. But I love this picture of the pressing on. I think to press on into Christ, there is that you have to kind of forget some of the things that actually the devil would love to bring up about your past. It's one of the biggest burdens that we can put on ourselves, is that we remember things of the past, we are reminded by them, we sometimes dwell in them and actually think about them too much, and in that we are unable to press on into Christ. Insecurities, unbelief. The amazing thing is that if you think about what Paul had done in his past dealings with the church, he was able to forget those things and press on. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? I think here as a group, as the Lord's body amongst us right here now, he wants us to press on. What does that really mean? What's the application of that? It's easy for me just to say it. Let's press on. Okay? For me, I think it's this. It's to find an inner contentment in God and then walk. My picture up there, I was amazed, I loved it, that there are already footsteps there. Do you know that the Lord's already gone and done those footsteps? We just need to walk in them. Isn't that true? Those footsteps would lead to Calvary, you could say. He wants us to walk in them. Luke would say, take up your cross daily. Take up our cross daily. Walk those steps. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? First of all, stand in the place and see. Like Abraham, he just stood there. God said, you look out. And where you want to see, it's yours. And then after that, walk in it. For this year coming up, I want to walk into new things. Do you want to walk into new things? The riches of the Lord Jesus. We say it quite often, but we scratch the surface. I do believe that we just scratch the surface. He'll want us to go deeper. That may mean going through something that's a trial. That may mean going through some kind of persecution. That may mean going through some kind of illness. I read something about the Lord's, his grace is sufficient and his spirit rests upon. There's a verse in Corinthians. I should know it off by heart, sorry. But there's something about that where I linked it, and it was to do about being afflicted. And it's had this thing of the wonderful truth that his spirit rests upon. We often will just quote the bit of his grace is sufficient. But actual fact, it goes on and says his spirit rests upon. I love that. His spirit rests upon those that will go through certain things that you will not be able to bear on your own, but you will with Jesus. That's amazing. It may be a year of that. Are you excited? Is there a sense of anticipation? I want my neighbours to know Jesus. They've been so on my heart. One of them's very ill. She's young, she's in her 20s. They've asked us to pray for her. They've not been able to enjoy Christmas at all. But it really spoke to me and Helen that they were able to ask us, would you pray for our daughter? She's got lymphoma, is it? In her 20s. Lord, I want the salvation to come to that household. We will all have opportunities with our neighbours. Jesus will come into that place, into the household, and move, even through the things of illness. He's wonderful.
Paul wanted to press on. I want to press on. I want to forget about the things that are behind me. I want to look to the author, the finisher, the captain of the salvation. It's wonderful. It stirs something. Does it stir something in your hearts this morning? That this year we can actually look and know that we're going in a direction which is unto Him. Old things have passed away. Precious Lord. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Precious Lord, my notes have all been mixed up. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. God gives this invitation to us all. Like I said earlier on, there's something amazing about finding this place where something that's in your heart, which is Christ, warms the very clothes that put on your body. It really spoke to me. We will not find anything externally that will come in and take that place. But this year, going into this new fresh year, I think the Lord wants to bring a content. It's basically a sufficiency, and it's almost a self-reliance on Christ. One of the biggest dangers is that you just rely just on everyone else, on the pastor, on the church, on a book that you've been reading, on it. They're great, but the ultimate and the all-sufficient one is for yourself, is to look to Jesus. That's where you'll grow, that's where you'll mature, that's where it won't be milk, it'll be meat, there'll be strength as you walk. It won't be pastor reliant, it will be on Jesus reliant. I believe that's one of the dangers. Where you take away, you stood there with your stick, take that stick away, and where have you gone? You've fallen down. If you're with Jesus, there's a strength. He wants our undivided attention in the morning, in your quiet times. What's the application of contentment? Read more. Sing more. Great thing is worship. If I didn't listen to my tunes on the way to work, my worship songs, I'd lose a sense of uplift for going into a workplace. My quiet time, when I read, I switch things off. I just have that 5-10 minutes and then longer. It's all the very basic things, and I realise that actually the Lord wants to kind of grow more in us. Precious Lord, He's wonderful. Let me just pray. We're near the end. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank You that You're all sufficient, Lord. All that is in You, Lord Jesus, and all that You've communicated down to us, Lord, is a sufficiency, Lord, of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Lord, thank You that that actually goes out to those that we work with, those neighbours that, Lord, are hurting at the moment, those family members that have been mentioned earlier on. Lord, those names that have been called out. Lord, we pray that they would come to a place of contentment in You, Lord. That they would repent of the things that have been done. Come to You in a new way, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's a body here, and Your expression on the earth here at the Longcroft, Lord, we pray that this year we would find a wonderful contentment in You, Lord Jesus. A new reliance on You, our Saviour. Believing for those that don't yet believe,
Lord, heal marriages, Lord Jesus. Lord, our young people, that they would take steps of boldness to come out further, Lord, in their trust and reliance of you, Lord Jesus. Stir the young people, we pray. Lord, for the older ones, that their prayer would continually go on, Lord Jesus. That their encouragement, Lord, to the younger people. Precious Lord, thank you for the whole body here across all the ages, Lord Jesus. Pray that this year would be, Lord, a year that we see you again, Lord Jesus, amongst us. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're well satisfied, even this morning, what you've given us today, Lord Jesus. Lord, for the food that we're about to eat, Lord. Lord, for all the different friendship groups here, Lord. Precious Lord, we love you. Amen.